It seems to... Good evening.
Good evening.
If you like it. Okay, there we go. That's a little bit more manageable now. I'm Pastor Tim Lystico. I serve your brothers and sisters at Christ Lutheran down in Lodi. My pleasure to be with you this evening to bring you God's Word. Continuing our look at the first chapter of the book of Colossians with our focus on not taking Christ out of Christmas, right? Keeping the reason for the season in front of our minds. And today we take a particular look at who Christ is. So we'll follow that theme during our worship service this evening. Let's get started with the opening responses just on the inside cover of your bulletin, page 2. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light of the darkness.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is
and the day is almost over.
Be our light and scatter the darkness.
And hear our prayers.
Thank you.
O Lord, what are human beings that you care for them? Mere mortals that you think of them.
They are my breath, their days are like a green shadow.
Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise.
His greatness no one can have.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all his.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful for earth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
We pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace, now drawing to a close. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly, that we may walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let our prayers be acceptable in your sight. Come and help us in time of need, that we may sing your praise in holy joy now and forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We'll join to sing the hymn printed in the book.
Thank you.
A reading from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. The word of the Lord.
We lift our hearts to the Lord.
Peace to men below.
The Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of the Lord.
We lift up our hearts to the Lord.
We'll join in singing the hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I had a non-Christian friend who once asked me, around this time of year, how I felt about the different depictions of Jesus that you see around. He was looking at different paintings, different pictures that you see hanging on walls or posted on the internet, even depictions of Jesus in, you know, films and television, that sort of thing. And he was noticing something. Jesus was born and raised and lived his whole life in what today we would call the Middle East, and yet most of the depictions that he saw of Jesus had very fair skin, and a good number of them even had blue eyes. I used to tell my members at my congregations on the reservation that Jesus probably looked a lot more like them, like Native Americans, than he looks like me. But that's not what I said to my friend. You know, this friend of mine who, you know, is not a Christian, not a believer, but had this honest question. My answer to him was that every Christian wants Jesus to look like them. And I would argue that that is an understandable thing. And more than just an understandable thing, I would argue that that's a good thing. So if you go to Africa and you go to a Christian church and you see a picture of Jesus hanging on the wall, what color skin do you think he's going to have? White like mine? Probably not. You go to a Christian church somewhere in East Asia or a Christian home and they have a picture of Jesus hanging on the wall there. What shape of do you think his eyes are going to be? I don't want to play into too many stereotypes, but Christians around the world, we have a history of depicting Jesus so that he looks like us. And that is a good thing. It is a good thing because Jesus is one of us. This great mystery that we are going to celebrate in just 4, 5, I don't know how you count the days. Does today still count? Less than a week, we are going to celebrate this mystery of the incarnation on Christmas. We are going to celebrate this truth that we just heard John expound for us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. These words that I can wrap my mouth around, but I cannot hope to wrap my head around. And yet, what a truth it is. That he is Emmanuel, God with us. That he is truly human, just like you and me. That he has hands and feet and eyes and nose and ears, and all of them take a shape. That he has hair and fingers, just like me. And maybe he doesn't look just like me. Maybe he doesn't look like my literal brother born to my mother and my father, but he is my brother, and he looks more like me than he looks like the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the angels in heaven. And so isn't it understandable that we want God to be with us, to be one of us in his appearance, that we want it to look like God in the flesh lives just down the street or belongs in my home, and that he would look like he belongs in a picture of my family hanging on the wall. It is a beautiful thing, a good thing, that when you close your eyes, you imagine a Jesus that is like you. But it's not always a beautiful thing. I want Jesus to look like me, but my sinful nature has a temptation then to imagine that since Jesus looks like me, then anybody who does not look like me does not belong. Look back on Christian history and you'll find that temptation, right? You'll find people who have said to their brothers and sisters in Christ who have got a different shade to their skin or a different shape to their eyes and have said, "You don't belong here. Get out." Now, maybe you and I don't struggle with that particular sin. But think about the way that you think about yourself and your opinions and your sins and your vices. I imagine that the things that I like, Jesus must agree with. Right? Jesus must be rooting for my football team and not that other team. Jesus must be voting for my political party and not that poor excuse for a leader on the other side of the aisle. And Jesus will justify me in my vices while he condemns the person that I am watching, right? I make a mistake on the freeway and I cut somebody off coming up off of the on-ramp, and that's understandable. They need to make way for me, but somebody else cuts me off at the next exit? What is that guy thinking? You can't drive like that. And Jesus must agree with me that I'm right and he's wrong. Because Jesus has my back. And Jesus gets me. And Jesus looks like me. So Jesus agrees with me. And Jesus approves of me. And Jesus is willing to sweep my mistakes under the rug. Because Jesus is just my enabling friend. Or as a t-shirt that a lot of people in my generation liked to wear in high school, Jesus is my homeboy. So he's going to ignore the problems in my life and the problems in my heart. But why should he? Here's the problem about closing our eyes and picturing a Jesus that looks like us is that it tempts us to believe that Jesus only lives in my imagination. That he's my imaginary friend that's there when he's convenient, that is always there to support me, but when I don't need him, I can dismiss him with a thought, and he is no longer there. But he is not my imaginary friend. He is a real person, and not just a real person, but as Paul tells us here in Colossians, all things have been created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So let me not make the mistake of thinking that Jesus will conform to my image of him, when the reality is that I must conform to his image. And I must. Because Jesus is everything that I should be. The image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. What you and I are meant to be. Go back to the beginning when God first made humanity, Adam and Eve, placing them there in the garden. How did he make them? In the image of God, he made them. Male and female, he created them. They were meant to reflect what God is like. They were meant to be the visible, physical representation of God in the world. And that means that as the birds of the air and the beasts of the field and the fish of the sea looked at humanity, they would see what God is like, what their Creator is like. And they were the firstborn over all of that creation. Not that they were made first, but that they had rights to it as God's heirs. That it belonged to them, that they were to care for it. Care for it as if God himself were caring for it. The way that my dad used to say it was, dog is the opposite of God. Right? G-O-D. Turn it around. D-O-G. And what that tells you is that you should treat your dog the way that God treats you. That's the way he put it. And you can tell it's stuck in my head because here I am now, 20-some-odd years later. But if that is the way that it is, that my dog, and not just my dog, but the birds of the air and the beasts of the field and the fish in the sea and my fellow human being is to learn what God is like from me, the way that I live and move, the way that I speak to them and the way that I treat them and the way that even I think about them, what are they learning that God is like from me? How do you treat your dog? Do you sometimes yell at him? Have you kicked him? How do you treat the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish in the sea? Do you even think about them? God does. Not one sparrow falls from the sky without his knowing. And that's nothing to say about how you treat your fellow human beings. How do you talk about that guy who cuts you off on the highway? How do you think about that person living in the other room just down the hall? How have you treated the people closest to you? Not the image of Jesus that looks like he's a member of your family, but the actual members of your family. Do they see what God is like in the way that you treat them? We are poor reflections of God's character. So will we remain to be the firstborn over his creation, heirs of all that he has made? Will we lay claim to them? Will God give us ownership over them? He shouldn't. I should be disowned. I should be the black sheep of the family. I should be the person that on Monday, when it comes time to sit down for Christmas dinner, they don't even set a place for me at the table because I'm not part of the family anymore. I should be the one that we don't talk about, the one who went wild, the one who rebelled, the one who ran away, and now let us never utter his name again. I should be what Christ is, but I am not. He is everything that I should be. He is the image of God. He is the firstborn over all creation. And so if the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and my fellow man is to learn what God is like, let them not learn it from me. Let them learn it from him. Because not only is he everything that I should be, he is everything that I am not. He is kind and compassionate where I am short-tempered and selfish. Gracious and merciful where I am
pitiless and cruel. Unconditional in his love, where I am self-serving and always looking for what I will get out of it. Self-sacrificing. Laying down himself, laying down his rights and his authority and equality with God, not grasping them and using them for his own advantage, but rather making himself nothing, making himself like me, conforming himself to my sinful flesh so that my sinful flesh can hang there on that cross and die. Praise the Lord that he is not like me. That he is everything that I am not and everything that I should be. That he is a man, yes, but not just a man. He is the man that Adam was supposed to be but failed to be. The man that I never had a chance to be. The man who takes the place of every man, every human being in his perfect life. The man who takes the place of every sinner in his innocent death. And so God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things in him. This world that has been torn asunder because I am not what I am supposed to be, because I am not the image of the invisible God, because I am no longer the firstborn over all creation, God brings that torn apart creation back together in Christ through his blood. This great conflict that exists within my heart as I see what I am supposed to be and see all the ways that I have failed to be, and he heals that rift, heals that wound of sin. And so now a new question based on this: who am I? If Christ is the image of the invisible God, if Christ is now the firstborn over all creation, instead of me, well then, who will I be? Will I just be the worst thing that I have ever done? Is that the record that gets put in God's book? Does God do some heavenly calculus and he works out all the math and he figures out the average of all my good and bad and he puts me on some scale and I'm ranked somewhere in the list of sinners? Am I the best work that I can muster? I hope not. I hope none of these. No, in him, in him I am clothed with his blood and righteousness. In him, though I once was God's enemy, I am now part of God's family. Because he has entered into my family. Because he became Emmanuel, God with us. Well, now I get to be Tim with God. I, the sinner, am declared righteous. And God at one time condemns all my sin and forgives every one of them there in Christ on his cross. I, though I am born earthly and fleshly and sinful, I am drawn into the courts of heaven by Jesus' resurrection from the dead and by his ascension on high. Who am I? Who am I? In Christ? In Christ I am reconciled to God, justified before him, holy and righteous, one of his saints. Who am I? Well, because Jesus entered into my family, I am now a member of his. A lesson from Colossians chapter 1. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The word of the Lord. We'll join to sing our next hymn. Let us pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We join to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus make us strong to do his will. And may the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives.
Amen. We'll join us in our closing.
I don't have any announcements because I don't know what's going on here. But thank you to all of our accompanists this evening. Thank you to everyone else who helped to make this possible so that I could just show up and preach. Thank you for making it run smoothly. I will be standing in the back to greet everyone on the way out. God's blessings go with you in these final days of Advent, and God bless your Christmas celebrations.